This is Going to Hurt, Secret Diaries of a Junior Doctor by Adam Kay. Read by Adam Kay. The decision to work in medicine is basically a version of the email you get in early October asking you to choose your menu options for the work Christmas party. No doubt you'll choose the chicken to be on the safe side, and it's more than likely everything will be all right. But what if someone shares a ghastly factory farming video on Facebook the day before and you inadvertently witness a mass debeaking? What if Morrissey dies in November and, out of respect for him, you turn your back on a lifestyle thus far devoted almost exclusively to consuming meat? What if you develop a life-threatening allergy to escalops? Ultimately, no one knows what they'll fancy for dinner in 60 dinners' time. Every doctor makes their career choice aged 16, 2 years before they're legally allowed to text a photo of their own genitals. When you sit down and pick your A-levels, you're set off on a trajectory that continues until you either retire or die, and, unlike your work Christmas party, Janet from procurement won't swap your chicken for her halloumi skewers. You're stuck with it. At 16, your reasons for wanting to pursue a career in medicine are generally along the lines of, my mum or dad's a doctor, I quite like Holby City, or I want to cure cancer. Reasons 1 and 2 are ludicrous, and reason 3 would be perfectly fine, if a little earnest, were it not for the fact that's what research scientists do, not doctors. Besides, holding anyone to their word at that age seems a bit unfair, on a par with declaring the I want to be an astronaut painting you did aged 5 a legally binding document. Personally, I don't remember medicine ever being an active career decision, more just the default setting for my life, the marimba ringtone, the stock photo of a mountain range as your computer background. I grew up in a Jewish family, although they were mostly in it for the food, went to the kind of school that's essentially a sausage factory designed to churn out medics, lawyers and cabinet members, and my dad was a doctor. It was written on the walls. Because medical schools are oversubscribed tenfold, all candidates must be interviewed, with only those who perform best under a grilling being awarded a place. It's assumed all applicants are on course for straight A's at A-level, so universities base their decisions on non-academic criteria. This, of course, makes sense. A doctor must be psychologically fit for the job, able to make decisions under a terrifying amount of pressure, able to break bad news to anguished relatives, able to deal with death on a daily basis. They must have something that cannot be memorised and graded. A great doctor must have a huge heart and a distended aorta through which pumps a vast lake of compassion and human kindness. At least, that's what you'd think. In reality, medical schools don't give the shiniest shit about any of that. They don't even check if you're okay with the sight of blood. Instead, they fixate on extracurricular activities. Their ideal student is captain of 2 sports teams, the county swimming champion, leader of the youth orchestra and editor of the school newspaper. It's basically a Miss Congeniality contest without the sash. Look at the Wikipedia entry for any famous doctor and you'll see. He proved himself an accomplished rugby player in youth leagues. He excelled as a distance runner and in his final year at school was vice-captain of the athletics team. This particular description is of a certain Dr. Harold Shipman, so perhaps it's not a rock-solid system. Imperial College in London were satisfied that my distinctions in grade 8 piano and saxophone, alongside some half-assed theatre reviews for the school magazine, qualified me perfectly for life on the wards, and so, in 1998, I packed my bags and embarked upon the treacherous 6-mile journey from Dulwich to South Kensington.